guys. This is Rishabh with Project Shira here. Relief shelter for those who don't have family or don't have a place to go. But also on the more entertaining and fun side, slice of life. SOL plus IRL in real life. I know I'm being a little bit quiet right now. There's some, you know, conversations in the backdrop. But the main topic here is something impromptu, improv, and it's focused on how to love oneself. It's interesting because that's a trick question. And by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube as a video, it's probably, I know the contrast is really high, but I think it's more important what's to be said than it is what's to be seen. Anyways, so I was sitting on the, this is a bit of storytelling, but you know, the topic is at hand, very straightforward. It's not really related all too much with the second marathon, but so much the third marathon of leaving. But it dives into the underpinnings of why I left and how, despite not being able to leave yet, I found some peace and solace to a question that I could not answer for a very long time. And I think a lot of people have this question answered. So it's obviously the one that's in the title, right? How do, for those of you, not everyone will experience this, but for some people will have it very easy. Some people can love themselves very easily. But I do believe that almost everyone finds themselves in this situation at least several times, if not at least once throughout their lifetime, where maybe they gave too much to someone else, or maybe they, you know, were going through a rough time in their personal, their own lifestyle. Maybe it's a mixture of both. Maybe it's something else all entirely. They just can't seem to love themselves. Or that's not the question at hand. In fact, it's a confusing thing, because if that is the source of the problem, if the source of the problem is that you can't love yourself and you can't tell that that is the source. So let's say you're confused. You are not sure. I'll give my example, right? In my case, I was wondering, you know, what is it I'm doing particularly? That is it because I've set too many standards? Is it because I don't allow people to be angry around me and then I abandon them? Is it because I've set things that are taboo when they shouldn't be? So that's one thing. Is it because I'm weak? Is that why people, you know, treat me badly? Or are they even treating me badly? Is it a matter of my perspective? Am I overthinking? Am I overanalyzing? I go through the daily life. I know I don't look normal, right? Because I have a bit of PTSD. So I go overboard and have this OCD dress up. There are probably some behaviors of hypervigilance and anxiety. So I'm, you know, things tend to make me shake. Or it comes obvious to people in some particular fashion. I'm not looking at them. And then because of that, they feel like they want to tease me, right? Pretty standard, right? If you show people weakness, they kind of respond to it by pushing your buttons. Not all the time. Some people respect that. Some people get creeped out by it, right? They're like, you know, you don't want to look at me because you have a problem with looking at me. So then they get creeped out and they like bolt out the other direction. Sometimes it's hypervigilance. Right, sometimes I pay too much attention. So these are symptoms. So is it my symptoms? So we listed several things. Is it my symptomatology? Is it, you know, do you have a disorder? Do you have symptoms of stress disorders, anxiety disorders? Are those things that you are worried about? Might that be the cause, you ask yourself? Is it because, you know, you're doing something wrong? Is it just because you're overanalyzing the situation? You know, it's all in your head. It's not actually a problem. There are a myriad of things that it could be. And I was kind of at my wit's end, honestly. I was on the bus. I just spent about 4 or 5 hours. Again, guys, this is like a storytelling thing. So this entire video, was downtown and working on, you know, just sorting out a lot of paperwork from almost 15 to 20 different organizations, whether it's employment or government or community service or volunteering, so for applications, for resumes, for, you know, like just things I learned from the library. And I also spent some time there just generally speaking, paying attention to my thoughts and paying probably too much attention to other people's responses to me. So I spent that time afterwards after I finished my work, and then, you know, actually it was a particularly good day, if I may say so myself, compared to, I usually am too hypervigilant. I pay too much attention to my surroundings. So I'm always scanning the world for threats. That's what hypervigilance means. You don't have a sense of safety or security because, you know, early on in life or through a very abusive or toxic relationship, you were always made to feel like your life was endangered or put at risk, a threat. And so as a result, I have that tendency to constantly look for exits. You know, make sure I can tell if there's someone here who is a little bit funny, quirky. But then, of course, that makes me look like the quirky one, right? That makes me look like the weirdo. I'm paying too much attention to surroundings because normal people don't actually pay attention that much to their surroundings. They don't care as much as I do. So it kind of backfires, right? So then I left, right? And then, you know, it was a particularly good day. And I had, you know, I made a lot of progress, I felt, you know. I wasn't, you know, too hypervigilant. I wasn't too anxious. Even when people were looking at me, I noticed that I didn't care as much as I used to. And, you know, I thought, you know, I was doing well. But then as I was leaving and going back, boarding the bus, boarding the subway, you know, it started to happen again, right? It's like, it's very difficult to ignore that many stares, right? It's like a Sunday afternoon. It's like hundreds of people within a few minutes passing by. Some of them are overt about it. Some of them are more subtle. And most of them hopefully don't care. But those that do aren't afraid to, you know, get in my way, literally sit in front of me and directly laugh at me. So, or directly, you know, say they got a problem with me. And you could be doing nothing wrong, right? It's just like, they find you funny, so they laugh. They find you weird, so they say you're weird. And they talk about you. And you can't really stop that. But, you know, it got to me as I was coming back from the bus, man. It did. And I was like, so then it stirred all these thoughts. Spiral came back. Again, I don't know how relatable this is for some of you. Obviously, in the video, I've titled it, you know, to those who have a hard time loving themselves or something along those lines. I'm not sure what the title of this video will be. Something along the lines of, for those who can't, you know, who are confused about what they're doing wrong, that makes the world unable to leave them alone. Because at the end of the day, my particular problem, and I'm trying to look for the specific audience, the niche, you people. By you, I mean specifically the people who aren't looking for approval or love even, or happiness from other people, just for them to leave you alone. It's not about them giving you something. It's about them not doing something to you. So not gossiping, not mocking, not, you know, not paying attention to you, just leaving you alone. And why can't they do that, right? It's not about them trying to accept you, although that could be another problem, because it can be. I know that I've had that problem before in the past. What I want now is totally different, right? It's not about wanting them to treat me well. It's about wanting them to not treat me badly, to not do something bad to me. And not being able to control that, of course, you know, if you're a proper healthy adult, you should be able to ward that off, right? Even if it's coming from all angles, because you're, unfortunately, you're going to dress a little weird because you have certain issues, mental health issues, or certain quirky things that, you know, are just part of you, and you haven't changed them, maybe you should, some of them, but if you really have tried and you can't change them, then you're just going to be subject, you just have to deal with it, suck it up, get over it. But how do you do that, right? And then that gets to you, because it got to me. I started asking as I was on the bus way back, on the subway transit, on the train. I went through an episode again of intrusive thoughts and dialectical, you know, back and forth, stoic talk back and forth. That's kind of what what's it called, Socrates used to do, right? So I always do this dialectical thinking back and forth. Apparently it's turns out that that's actually some form of therapy as well, called DBT. I only realized that a couple years ago, very recently, that what I've been doing my entire life was actually very consoling, very therapeutic, which it is, for the record. It's very introspective, and I think a lot of people do this, even though they don't really know it's part of a therapy program. It's 11 minutes. So, long story short, I mean, not long story short, it is supposed to be a story. Sorry, I was going to say long story short, but no. It's going to be about 20 minutes, 25, I think. But basically, I was sitting there and I asked myself, you know, I started to pull up all the ideas, right? I was going to the downward spiral. I was starting to feel, I went from confused, like, what am I doing wrong? You know, am I doing something wrong? Why is it not clear to me? Why can I not distinguish what I'm doing wrong from what I'm doing right? Why am I being too judgmental? Am I on myself? Am I overanalyzing things? Am I not caring enough though? You know, maybe I'm not analyzing enough. Maybe there are things blatantly obvious that I should be doing or that I should not be doing, and I just can't see it. I think that's the case, actually. I think there's a lot of things that seem normal for other people that I don't do, or that there's a lot of things that I do but other people would never do, or they'd laugh at, or they find it funny, or they'd get annoyed or get angry or something like that. Like, things that other people like, I don't like. Things that I like, other people don't. Things that I take an issue with, people don't take an issue with. Things that other people take an issue with, I have no problem with. So again, if any of you guys have this kind of experience yourself, and I'm pretty sure most people do at some point in their lives, you can share your particular personal experiences in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube, or just join the Discord or whatever, you know, wherever you can leave your thoughts in some way. I'd love to hear that. But basically, that's what I was experiencing, and I was diving in on that. I went in and I felt the emotions, and I felt the emotions, I ran the thoughts, I went through an entire dialectical argument back and forth. It was almost dissociative. It was dissociative. I would stare out the window like I used to when I was in a very distraught household, and I would just stare out there, like into the nothing. You know, you're staring out the window, but you don't see the clouds, because you're not seeing anything. You're just out of your body. But it feels good to just look outside and then see nothing. It's calming, it's soothing, it takes you away from your problems. And then you get lost in your thoughts again, which isn't good. Sometimes it is, but in this case, I would say, I was like, you know, I'm going to start overthinking if I continue down this track. So then I said, you know, this has to stop, right? And then I was confused about that too. It's like, maybe this is the right path. Maybe I'm supposed to be more introspective, because I know that a common trait of being anxious and neurotic is that you're not self-aware, right? So it helps to sit down, as they say, to meditate and to become self-aware and conscious of your thoughts. Although I've never really considered meditation to be, like, for example, I just did it. I didn't have a name for it. That was just one of my mechanisms I developed when I was growing up. And then I, you know, later on, many years later, like a full decade or two later, you know, like 2010 or whatever, people started to like, it started to become politicized. And then meditation and mindfulness became this like virtuous kind of thing to do, or super healthy thing. It became a trending, sensationalized topic. But for those of us who, you know, even in the 90s, when it was not a thing at all, you know, in the 90s, meditation and therapy was kind of like looked down on, and you would be ridiculed for seeking like help. You'd be called a crazy. But it's like, you know, for those of you who had it then, you know that who started to do that kind of mindful, self-conscious, you know, you blank out and dissociate and become detached from the world. You know it helps sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. So I was kind of doing that, kind of lost in my thoughts, and I really went deep into it, deeper than, because I don't usually, by the way, deep is not supposed to be some sort of like, it's not like I'm bragging about, guys, like it's not like deep, like it's, oh, it's so elitist, important. No, I wasn't coming to some grand revelation, guys. I just mean deep in the sense that I went, you know, further down into my thoughts than I usually would. So relatively, so sometimes you just end up thinking more specifically about a tangent, and sometimes you end up thinking more broad across the board, right? So you sort of think, have a bunch of thoughts covering many different topics, right? But it's not all congruent towards one narrow, you know, focal point, so you're not focused on that one particular topic. In this case, it was very focused. That's what I mean by deep. It was just very focused. It's not, you know, it's not some grand superior thing. No, it's not. I didn't have some amazing, you know, Socratic revelation. It's just that I was really heavily focused, and I kept going in and in on the same arguments, and then I went further and further until I found the core. Right, this is basically deduction of a core value and deciphering a core problem, right? Finding the very roots of it, which is, again, you can see in the title, right? What did I find the source to be? You know, I was wondering, you know, what I thought, you know, I was so distraught as I was thinking through all these things and feeling all these emotions and experiencing what I was experiencing. I thought I was going to come back and just really ask, you know, someone dear to me, which isn't reciprocated by any means necessarily. I was going to ask him, you know, I need some help, and I want to ask you, you know, what am I doing wrong? Like, I want you to give me the laundry list, man, because I can't figure it out, or I have ideas, but I'm in so much turmoil. Like, it hurts. At that time, when I was in the subway, as I was walking on the sidewalk, as I was boarding the train, my chest was so tight, and there was so much emotional pain. There was so much experience inside my, like, it was like I wanted to stop. It was hard to breathe. It was heavy to breathe. I wanted to end. And again, of course, this has to do with some disorders, right? Yeah. I won't say what particularly it is. It's kind of confidential. But, I mean, if you experienced, for example, CPTSD, which is one of my diagnoses, you know that kind of experience you may have. So I said, you know, I wanted to stop. Is it because I'm doing the wrong thing? I want to ask, you know, just, I don't get it, you know? It's like, why is it wrong of me, for example, I want to ask, to not want to associate with someone who's constantly angry and gossiping and stuff like that? Like, I, by the way, all these questions I've kind of pushed aside and answered, right? It's like, it's all resolved. It's weird that I've resolved it within that single, you know, deep dive. But that's why I'm making this video in the first place. I didn't think I would make this video podcast at all. It just kind of popped up, and I got lucky. Honestly, I think I just got lucky. Everyone gets lucky at some point in their lives. You get some sort of actual solution. You know, there's 1,000 problems and 1,000 reasons, 1,000 factors it could be. And you just kind of go trial and error, and then you bump into the solution eventually. Sometimes you don't do it for decades. Sometimes you figure it out within hours. Right? And in this case, I finally figured out what I think. You know, you're never really too certain. It could be that 2 days from now I'll wake up, or a week from now I'll wake up, and it'll still, the problem will then persist or reappear. And then I'll be like, oh, shit. still here, maybe for a different reason, but still here. So, I mean, that would suggest that it's maybe not the source, but right now it seems like that is the source. I'm more confident about this than I've ever been before. And again, it has to do with loving yourself. So I was asking, you know, in my mind, I was envisioning myself literally just knocking down and saying, you know, because I don't ask for a lot for help. A lot of times, most of my life, I haven't asked for help. And that was this obsession with being independent and doing things myself and taking responsibility, because the people around me seemed like they weren't taking responsibility. I know two of my cousins, they're both younger than me. Both my cousins younger than me have expressed that they have faced a similar situation where they kind of took on this independent role and tried to take on responsibility and duties by themselves. Because whether it's financial, material, social, because their actual guardians, their actual parents couldn't do it, their actual family couldn't do it, so they took on the independence, and then they went too far AWOL, right, and decided to do everything by themselves, right? So that's kind of something that I've experienced, obviously, as well, right? And I was thinking to myself, if that's the case, you know, why don't I ask? Because I'm confused. I'm more than confused. I was distraught. I was on this train, I was coming back, and then I was on the bus, I was staring out the window, I was just so in so much riveting. And I know that this is only specific to me and other people who have the same sorts of, you know, symptomatology, symptoms, syndrome, that they experience emotional pain very, very intensely. More so, it's like a ranking of 7 to 9 on a scale of 10. And normal people only experience emotional pain on that same cause or event at a, you know, 2 or 3. So it's like unbearable for me and other people who have this kind of disorder or symptom or syndrome. And it's actually very, very much ignorable and bearable. Totally, you know, people don't even notice it if they're kind of normal and healthy and haven't been through this. Or maybe they've overcome it. Or maybe they just have yet to experience it, right? So that's what it was. And I was like, you know, I want to ask. I'm empty-handed. It seems. I want to ask. I want to knock on the door and ask. No matter what I do, you know, I can't seem to figure it out. No matter what I do, I don't understand. Can you tell me, what is it that I'm doing wrong? Am I doing something wrong? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Is it because I'm weak? Is it because I'm too perfectionist? Is it because I have too high standards? Is it because I have too low standards? Is it because I have, you know, like empathic traits like that make me like a people pleaser? Is it because I have the opposite, narcissistic traits too high, that make me like arrogant and like condescending? Or is it, you know, another dimension? Is it this? Is it that? Is it something I'm aware of that I've listed? Is it something that I'm totally clueless about? I want to ask, what is the laundry list? I want to ask directly to him. What annoys you about me? Just tell me. I want to hear everything here. What sets you off? What pisses you off about me, man? I'm trying to figure it out. And if for some reason, no matter what I do, I just can't hone in on it. Is it because I'm so negative? I know that's a trait of mine, right? Is it because I'm too over-analytical? Is it too, you know, I was trying to figure it out and I couldn't figure it out. Is it all of these things? Is it because I have just a bad combination of everything, right? Is it because I have a long laundry list? It's not any one single thing, but all of them combined together that make me unbearable. It's like, what is it? What is it that makes you, you know, oh, red flag set off? Oh, what is it that pisses you off, that annoys you about me? You know, what should I do to stop? What would you like to see out of me, actually? And then, so we're kind of wrapping up at the end. Seems like I don't want to make it more than 25 minutes, but anyway, it's already 25 minutes. And how did I segue into it was, you know, I kept asking all these questions, right? Maybe you've done this before. I'm sure that you all have. If you're experiencing a problem that's been listed in the title, you've done it. You've asked all the questions, all the problems, all the inquiries, all the curious excitement, as well as the frustrated and nuisances. You know, like, what is it? What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? What is it? What have I done? And then eventually comes the question of, I guess in my case, and I don't know if this is your solution, but in my case, it was the solution for me. It seems it would be that I'm asking so many questions once again. You know, it's not the first time I've thought about this as a solution, but you know, when someone else throws a temper tantrum, or you know, explodes in a fit of rage, or is unhappy, upset because they can't get me to do certain things for them, or do things, or live my lifestyle the way they want me to, because I'm not bending over to what they want, because something I've done irks them, and maybe rightfully so. You know, it's like, I probably have done some really weird and annoying things, but I don't even know of it sometimes. You know, it's like, but then it's like, you know, you got annoyed by something that I do, and then, but I don't even know. I don't even have a problem with what I'm doing, honestly. And then the question becomes, you know, why am I annoyed by you? That's how it segued, because yeah, that's how the question came to be. That's how the solution came to be. Again, not the first time that I thought about it, but I really went in on this. I really focused on this. Usually I come to this thought of, oh, I'm responding and reacting to other people, right? Who are responding, reacting to me. And then I go, you know, they shouldn't, you know, they should just leave me alone. And it's like, why are you getting upset or angry or pissed off at me? Like, that's what I do is none of your business. Hey, Canada, it's none of your business. You don't get to tell me how I live my life or control me or whatever. You know, I've got my own stuff to do. I have to focus on my work, my business, on my relationships, on my life. Don't you have to do that for yourself? Why does this bother you? Why do you care about what I do? Why do you have to throw a fit? Why can't you just leave me alone? Right? And and then I ask myself, you know, in return, hold on a second, you know, well then why do I care? Why do I react to their reaction to me? Why do I get upset and angry or sad and depressed or inquisitive and start thinking about this in the first place? Why do I think about their reaction to me? Right? So it's like, why am I having a response to their response? Why am I reacting to their reaction? How am I any different? Again, all of us have had this before, right? It's not a revelation of any sort. It's not crazy. It's like something you've done before. But I just went in on this and focused on it instead of allowing this thought to just slide. Think about it and then not really focus and concentrate on the value that it has to bring, because it probably was the solution, but I just passed by it every single time. And the solution was, of course, you know, it's because I don't love myself. it's so simple. It's like, hold on. Before I thought about this, right? I said, you know, it's because I don't care about myself enough. I just kind of passed by. I was like, ah, it's kind of weird. I don't see the connection there. But it's very clear in this particular instance, in this particular situation, in this particular trail of thought, in this particular day, I sat down and I said, the reason why in the first place that I get upset that they are gossiping, slandering, you know, spreading rumors, making assumptions, accusing me of things, getting angry, throwing a fit of rage, trying to control me, trying to manipulate, trying to get people to outcast me, mocking me, ridiculing me, laughing at me, whatever, getting angry, teasing, you know, I don't know. In the first place is because stupid me, right? I'm allowing that to dictate whether I'm allowed to be something that can exist. that can be, that can even be loved, that can be cared for.